Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for May 21st, 2013. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Also this half hour, we'll have the latest crop progress numbers with NASS officials in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, and Nebraska. Todd Gleason will be by reporting on the debt-to-asset ratios of Illinois grain farmers. And Don Day will have the latest agricultural weather. It's all on the Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Here. Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Here are your settlements for this Tuesday afternoon in Kansas City. July wheat, 738.5, down 6.5. September, 745.5, down 4.75. July wheat in Chicago, 680.5, down 4.75. September, 688, down 4.75. July corn, 640, down 9.5. September, 546.75, down 7.75. And December, 520.25, unchanged from the previous session. July soybeans, 1478.25, up 13.75. September, 1288, down 6.25. And November, at 1220.75, down 4.25. July soybean meal, 438.70, up 3.40. August, 406.70, down 130. July soybean oil, 49.48, up 28. And August at 49.28, up 22. June live cattle, 120.90, up 77.5. August, 120.12.5, up 97.5. May feeder cattle at 132.02.5. They were down 50. The August contract at 146.35, up 187.5. June lean hogs, 92.37.5, up 30. And the July lean hog contract at 91.82.5, also up 30 on the day. And those are your settlements from Chicago and from Kansas City.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgro on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Looking at meteorologist Drew Lerner's weather highlights, he says field working delays are likely in the northern and eastern U.S. Midwest today and Wednesday. Farmers will resume in the southwest part of the Corn Belt today. Southeastern U.S. crop areas will see a good mix of rain and sunshine into Friday, followed by net drying this weekend and next week. Temperatures will be warm. Warming is likely in the central and southern U.S. plains late this week and into the weekend before expanding north and east through the Midwest next week. Highs in the 80s and 90s will occur routinely in the central and southern plains. Southwestern U.S. hard red winter wheat areas will experience strong thunderstorms for a little while on Thursday and into the weekend.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Thank you. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He is in Newmarket, Indiana. Good afternoon, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Dave. Beautiful afternoon here in Newmarket.
It was a gorgeous day today. In fact, I got out and got a little bit of a walk today.
Oh, well, that's great. Yeah, we got a nice little rain, about a quarter of an inch here early this morning with a lot of wind in some places, but nothing's up enough to be blown over any damage, so we could use that and a little more.
Let's talk about the most strong point in the grains today. That has to be front-end soybeans.
The front-end soybeans, yes. They have gone on up here. We've moved up 50 cents since the poor report, and now things look that way. But beans are tight. Meal is a very valuable commodity right now, and beans from South America don't work into the U.S., and processors are wanting to procure some beans.
I would say beans since Friday have made a huge charge, 14.78 and a quarter on the settlement. That almost touches that spike high that we had way back in February at 14.83 and a half. You look above the charts there, there's not a lot of resistance. Make up your mind where you want to pick a spot.
You know, that's that is the point to look at there. They are being held back a little bit by, of course, all the new crop seedings that we had with the idea that we're going to have large carryouts for next year, but the old crop is definitely a whole different ball game as we look at July being at 14.78 and November being at 12.20. So there are two different worlds.
And the nose lost a little bit on the day today as well. Actually, we're down all the way at 12.14 and a quarter at a low price on the day. Where do you think that November might catch?
Well, I think we saw some of that today, Dave. I think we saw the December corn and the November beans catching in this range right here until we get just a little bit further along here. I think we're going to want to get through option expiration on Friday. We're going to want to get through the ideas of just a weather forecast or two out there that definitely makes us feel a little more comfortable about that ridge not forming that's sort of being mentioned in the 11 to 15 day.
So soybean planting, traders still not have any concern in particular about that at this point?
It's a little bit behind, but boy, we saw what the American farmer can put in a week over this last week. And along the way, a little bit of rain here is going to be very helpful because we know a lot of farmers in northern and central Illinois and central Indiana that were really hoping for a shower before they went back to the bean field. So what we're looking at over the next what happened last night and over the next day or two here is exactly what we're looking for to push these beans in and get them sprouted.
All right, let's turn our attention and focus in more laser-like on corn. What was up with the nearby down?
I wish I could tell you, Dave, but it's a secret that they're keeping well from me. A couple of the well-respected advisory firms on the news wires basically said they've checked everywhere and didn't understand why July corn was down on the day with the D's coming back to unchanged. Basically, the basis levels stayed strong. The ethanol plants are definitely in the market trying to buy corn, and, of course, we need some for feed along the way. The export market's been dead, and we're not even looking for it to really be anything to help the July corn, but we think we have enough demand at ethanol plants to not lose its value right now.
You had to go down to the pit and use the super secret handshake, I think, to find out.
You know, they won't tell me what that is either.
What about wheat today?
The wheat, of course, off a little bit. It was sort of a follower there. We're seeing a little better weather forecast in over in Russia and in Australia, and then also, looking at things, looking at the spring wheat seedings were, of course, a little bit or better than expected and right on par. So all of those things come together, and then the little bit of the sell-off in the corn being a follower there, the wheat just stayed down in the day.
Why don't you tell everybody about where you are on new crop marketings?
Our new crop marketings, well, we're not as far along as we'd like to have been at higher prices, but we are probably 30% sold in both corn and beans, and that would be mainly with options and some cash sales.
Mostly paper positions, no hedge to arrives or some hedge
to
arrives?
No hedge to arrives. So basically they would be puts and shorting some calls above the market and then also some futures.
What do you think of the outside market's action thus far early in the week?
Well, you know, that dollar keeps bouncing around terribly here. We keep seeing that and talk that it could rally up to new highs. You know, we've been at, back to 85, and we're about at 84 here this evening as we talk like that. That's one of the things that puts some headwind against our commodity prices. Also, the gold and silver have really taken it on the ear. I think, you know, we're down 25% or so on silver for the year. The gold's had the longest run down that it's had for a long time. And the metals are just not showing the strength that we had probably looked at coming into this time period. And that's another reason we might see a little bit of shakiness in the commodities.
Did the metals make a little bit of a rally that was sort of a dodge, a feint in the last couple of days?
You know, we got down and then we took one little, you know, took a good shot up. And they sort of seemed to find some stability there on Monday.
What else are we looking at before we let you go today, Wayne?
Well, of course, you know, what did we just say? We said we planted half the corn crop in one week. It isn't time to look at it yet, but we are going to be very, very observant as to what the weather's going to be through pollination periods this year. You know, somebody, I think you asked me this morning, what week is that going to happen? I don't know.
I did ask that. And if you do know, let me know.
All righty.
Thank you, Wayne.
Thanks, Dave.
That's Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities, and he is in Newmarket, Indiana. He joins us every Tuesday afternoon on the Closing Market Report. In agricultural news, tobacco was at the center of Senate floor debate yesterday on the farm bill. It took all of about 30 minutes on the floor Monday before Senator John McCain, a Republican from Arizona, threw the first wrench into the farm bill machinery, introducing an amendment. McCain said that it would eliminate the crop insurance premium subsidy for tobacco. According to government reports, tobacco farmers received $38 million in premium subsidies in 2012 on about 270,000 acres of tobacco covered. Insurers paid out roughly $78 million in indemnities last year on tobacco. Senate Ag Committee Chairman Debbie Stabenow told McCain that his amendment would get a vote. She also said there were a number of amendments on crop insurance that she would like to see debated together. Meanwhile, the Obama administration yesterday says it wants to see more cuts to agricultural subsidies and crop insurance in the Farm Bill legislation, which would cost about $100 billion a year over 5 years and sets the policy for farm programs and food aid. The bill would cut about $2.4 billion annually from overall farm spending. The White House did not specify how large an additional cut it was seeking. USDA officials say they expect to meet the department's Thursday deadline to modify mandatory country of origin labels for meat due to a World Trade Organization ruling, even though the USDA proposal remains under a review at the White House Office of Budget and Management. The WTO ruling concluded USDA's original label discriminated against livestock from other countries. Canada has threatened to offer a list of U.S. products for retaliatory tariffs if the new rule goes into effect. USDA has a May 23rd deadline to demonstrate it had complied or responded to the WTO ruling. The modified rule under discussion from USDA would require more information for muscle cuts on where each of the production steps, born, raised, and slaughtered, occurred. Retailers also would be prevented from commingling muscle cuts from different countries in packaging. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development today says that developed economies returned to growth in the first 3 months of the year. Although the Eurozone continued to lag behind the U.S. and Japan, the Paris-based research body said the combined gross domestic product of its 34 developed country members grew by 0.4% from the final 3 months of 2012, when the output was flat. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Much has been made about the differences between the last 5 years in the agricultural economy and the similarities to the 1970s. It is also clear that farmers are in much better shape financially than they were at the end of that period. Todd Gleason has more on debt-to-asset ratios on Illinois grain farmers.
The debt-to-asset ratios on Illinois grain farms is in very good shape, or at least it has been reported to be that way over the last several years. Still, there are some interesting little twists in the financial health stat. Gary Schnitke has been exploring them. He's an ag economist at the University of Illinois.
You know, as we've looked at the debt-to-asset ratios decline, that at the same time, both debt and assets have increased. Total debt has increased from $365 per acre in 2005 up to $500 per acre in 2011. But to get that declining debt-to-asset ratio, we've had assets increase faster than debt. And where we've seen those increases are in farmland, machinery values, and crop inventory values. Those three have contributed to higher assets over that time period.
It sounds good. It is, in fact, good. But there are concerning paths forward.
One of the concerns that you would always have is if we have a farmland price decline, that would cause assets to go down and debt-to-asset ratios to go up. That's always a concern. The thing I would say is that if we ever have a return to lower prices, or when we have a return to lower prices, the ability to shut down cash flows such as capital purchases and reduce family living will be critical in making sure these farms can withstand financial stress.
The question here, then, is what does Gary Schnitke think is a low price for corn in the grain belt?
I would say that over the next 5-6 years, farms should expect to average 450 corn, 450 to 470. So what we've seen over the past several years have been higher than average corn prices. And if I were a farmer, I'd plan to be able to withstand at least 1, maybe 2 years of 350 corn. So those are possibilities within the next 5 to 10 years.
350 corn. Let's put that in a different form. Gary Schnitke says farmers should be prepared to live on half of what they've been earning over the last 4 years.
Yeah, if you look at incomes from 2008 on, if we go back to 450 corn or 450 corn, 2009 on 450 corn, we would have incomes on Illinois grain farms. If we get down to 350, it would be, you know, two-thirds of what we've been looking at here recently.
450 corn will have the net income, the salary of most farmers. That might be pretty hard to get used to after living on twice that much over the past 4 years. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
After the closing bell yesterday, NASS reported crop progress for the week ending May 19th. 71% of the nation's corn crop is planted versus 28% last week, and the five-year rolling average of 79%. 19% of corn is emerged versus 5% last week, and the five-year average of 46%. 24% of soybeans are planted versus 6% last week, and the five-year average of 42%. 3% of soybeans have emerged versus the five-year rolling average of 14%.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Planters rolled across Illinois last week, and they rolled and they rolled and they rolled. There were 5.8 days suitable for field work, and crop producers worked around the clock to get as much planting done as possible. Corn planting jumped 57 percentage points and is now estimated at 74% complete. This compares to 98% 1 year ago and 77% for the 5-year average. Corn emerged reached 16% compared to 86% last year at this time and 52% normally. Soybean planting reached 19% complete compared to 75% 1 year ago and 35% for the 5-year average. Soybeans emerged are estimated at 1% of acres in the state. After a week of warm and dry weather, topsoil moisture in Illinois is rated 2% short, 82% adequate, and 16% surplus. Subsoil moisture is rated 4% short, 79% adequate, and 17% surplus. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Hello, this is Andy Higgins with the Indiana Field Office of USDA NAS, and this is the Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending May 19th. Total precipitation during the week ranged from 0 to 3.8 inches, leaving about 4.9 days suitable for field work. The 3.8 inches of rainfall occurred way down south around the Vincennes area. Soils remained too wet across the southern districts to allow much planting progress to be made. However, field work steadily increased the further north you traveled in the state. 64% of the intended corn acreage has been planted at this time, compared with 96% last year and 65% for the 5-year average. By area, 84% of the corn acreage has been planted in the northern districts, 59% in the central region, and 36% in the south. About 20% of the corn acreage has emerged at this point. 30% of the intended soybean acreage has been planted, compared with 84% last year and 36% for the 5-year average. This is Andy Higgins reporting.
This is Greg Tayson, state statistician for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending May 19, 2013. Iowa farmers took advantage of ideal weather during most of the week and planted corn at a near-record pace. The good weather was prominent throughout most of the state until late in the week when severe storms moved across Iowa. Statewide, there were 5.3 days suitable for field work, more than double the number of days suitable for any week so far this year. 71% of the corn acres had been planted by the end of the week, an increase of 56 percentage points from the prior week. Even with the week's near-record planting pace, progress still lagged behind last year's 97% and the normal of 92%. Emergence of the corn crop at 13% is also well behind the average of 58%. Farmers that were wrapping up their corn planting began to focus their attention on soybeans and had 16% of the crop in the ground by week's end, although normally 59% of the soybeans would be planted by May 19th. This is Greg Tayson reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Scott Keller with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, the Nebraska Field Office, with the Crop Progress Report for the week ending May 19th, 2013. Corn planting advanced quickly as clear skies and above-normal temperatures prevailed throughout much of the week here in Nebraska. Rain moved across portions of the state over the weekend, but by then many producers had completed corn planting and were moving on to soybeans. Moisture accumulations were less than 1/2 inch across much of the central Nebraska, which did little to improve soil moisture conditions in drought-stricken areas. Corn planting jumped to 84% complete, behind last year's 97%. And 92% average. Soybeans planted were 33% and sorghum planted was 10%. Wheat conditions continued to rate fair to poor with 60% of the crop jointed. This is Scott Keller with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, the Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
It's National Strawberries and Cream Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1901, the first U.S. state motor car legislation was enacted to regulate the speed of motor vehicles. The Connecticut law established a speed limit of 12 miles per hour within city limits and 15 miles per hour outside. which were higher than the 8-mile-per-hour city and 12-mile-per-hour county speeds in the bill as originally presented. Also, the car driver was required to reduce speed upon meeting or passing a horse-drawn vehicle and, if necessary, to stop to avoid frightening the horse. In 1916, daylight savings time was introduced in Britain as a wartime measure to save fuel. The legislation was first considered in 1907, but the change failed for lack of support. Few liked the proposal, which called for adjustment of clocks in 4 weekly 15-minute chunks. When reintroduced in 1916 as a one-hour move, it passed. In 1929, the first automatic electric stock quotation board was put into operation by Sutro and Company of New York City. This was the first major advance in market information since the Edison ticker. The board was able to display the open, high, low, and last prices of each stock listed and automatically shifted the figures as changes were made. It was the first of a network of electronically posted blackboards serving the securities industry, activated by a central transmitting station via telegraph lines. The system eventually reached over 700 brokerage offices from coast to coast. And that's this day in agricultural history. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon, Don.
Good afternoon.
After looking at the latest crop progress report, if there is any area of concern, it might be parts of Minnesota and northwestern Iowa. What can you tell us about their potential planting windows going forward?
Well, they're still going to struggle. The core of the coolest, most wet conditions across the nation are going to be right in those areas, Minnesota, Iowa, portions of the Dakotas, Nebraska, and then into some of the northern and western areas of the Corn Belt. We're expecting above-average precipitation over the next week to 10 days, and temperatures are still going to be stymied. In fact, only in the southern and central Rockies and some of the desert southwest are we expecting above normal temperatures or near normal temperatures. So the cool spring continues.
So as we head east, closer to home, what are our prospects for soybean planting?
Well, we'll be a little better, but I think we're still going to be fighting the same things folks to the west will be, which is some frequent rains and temperatures that, well, not terribly cold, aren't at the same time going to be warm enough to really rapidly warm things up or dry things out either. So it's still going to be slow going. Will it be as bad as it was earlier this spring? No, but the progress is going to remain at a slow pace.
The reason I ask is that about a week ago we were talking about late week potentials for the eastern Corn Belt. They never showed up.
No, they didn't. They got into the east slopes of the Rockies and some of the other areas to our west, but the pattern has been that any time heat expands or starts to get going, it gets beaten down again by these systems coming out of Canada. And so the long-range trends, the long-range models, which they will tend to do this time of year, which is basically get summer started, there's a built-in climatology to the computer models. And right now, that climatology has made some of the long-range forecasts get a little ahead of themselves.
So in about 2 weeks, will the heat that we're going to see in the plains come east then?
We will, but it's going to be a slow process. I, quite honestly, am not comfortable to say that the summertime heat or the consistent warmer weather may not be until after the first full week of June.
You wouldn't happen to have the weather for the week that 50% of the corn we put in last week's going to pollinate, would you?
I wish I did.
Because if you do, share it, would you please? What about some issues more globally?
Well, let's go over to portions of Europe, the Ukraine. Those areas which have been dry are actually looking at Eastern Europe. Portions of Russia, they're looking a little more wet. So some needed rains are going over to there, something that we'll keep an eye on. And that's also going to coincide with some temperatures that don't look bad for progress there. If we were to go over to China, we find that the forecast is fairly good for China. Precipitation doesn't look bad. Temperatures look to be fairly close to normal, if not a little bit above. So I think planting progress and for the start of the season in Eastern Asia looking good.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you.
That's Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And that is today's closing market report. This is Dave Dickey.